All right, Job chapter 1, we're going to continue on in our study of the book of Job. So if you'll turn over there to Job chapter 1, hopefully you already have it marked, and maybe you've been reading over it just to kind of prepare your mind and get ready for the message tonight. But let's go ahead and stand, if you would, please, and I'll read here, and you can follow along. I'm going to read verses 13 through 22. And we're going to talk about a few things. We're not going to get that far tonight, so don't get too excited. But we are going to get through a certain particular topic that I want to focus on and help us with tonight. It says here, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses were feeding beside them, and the Sabaeans fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the fire of God is fallen from heaven, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants, and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another, and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants with the edge of the sword. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. So as we take a look once again at these things, I do want to remind us that God is at work in Job's life. Okay, whether you think it's good or it's bad, please understand God's at work in Job's life. Okay, that's the most important thing to remember. You understand that God does love us. Everybody okay with that? Okay. And he does want the best for us. But we have to remember something. It's not about us. It's about him. Okay? So the first mistake that human beings make when they get mad at God is they think it's about them. And it's not. It's not about you. It's about God. Okay? You cannot put, if you will, human qualities to God. He's God, okay? You can't be bound by time. He can't be bound by our humanity. He is not us. His ways are higher than our ways, his thoughts than our thoughts. Thus saith the Lord, we understand that's true. God is God, and we are us. Yes, we're created in the image of God, but we're not God. Okay? The devil said, ye shall be as gods. Well, that's not true. Okay? He's a liar. And God didn't intend for us to be as gods. He didn't intend for us to be equal with him. He's God. We're the creation. And we've got to keep that in mind, because listen, you can study, I'll just pull one name out, but you can study all kinds. David Brainerd was a great, if you will, missionary man of God. Okay? Died at 29 years old. Why? He was doing a great work reaching the Indians in the northeast part of our country. What was the purpose of that? And I could go on and on and on about all different kinds of people that have tried to serve God with their lives, and some have had short lives, some have had long lives. I mean, if you think it's about us, you're wrong. Because I can't answer those questions. There's so many stories of things that happen. I've heard of times where just recently in the last couple of years, there was a missionary family traveling somewhere. I think they were on furlough, I believe. But they were traveling, I think it was, I don't want to mess up the numbers, but most of the family was killed in a car accident. And for seemingly no reason. I can't explain that. And I'm not even going to try to. And nor should we, like, for instance, when Job's friends come in, they try to explain it according to human terms. Well, Job, you must have sinned. Otherwise, these things wouldn't happen to you. Well, that's not necessarily the case. We can't answer all those questions. All we can do to explain it is God is not us. And it's not about us, it's about Him. So, I'm saying all this for a good reason, and I'll tell you here. The thing is I can't explain to you why there was an accounting day of these ministering angels, and Satan is allowed even to come in amongst them. I can't explain that. I can't tell you why that happens. I can only say God allowed it to happen. And then you say, why? And I'm going to say, I don't know. Okay? And then we're going to talk about, well, then why would even God mention Job's name? Because Satan didn't. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know. And by the way, no other scholar knows either. And no other pastor knows either, because the Bible doesn't tell us why. Nor does it have to. We just have to understand that God did. Okay? So God did. And then, of course, Satan answers back. And by the way, if I were God, I wouldn't allow Satan to answer back. You know, I'd be like, when somebody tries to talk and you don't want to, you're like, you know? I mean, I just draw a zipper across his face and zip it, you know? I mean, whatever. When you're God, you can do that, whatever that you want to do in that way. But think about it. So he answered, and by the way, Satan is mocking God in front of God. Think about that. And he says, well, does Job serve God for naught? You know? And so he's first of all, shouldn't even be there, in my opinion. And then he's going to open his mouth and mock God openly in front of God. And if you will, also in front of the sons of God, these ministering agents. And God's going to answer back and such and so forth. But I would ask myself the question, why? Why is even all this allowed to happen? And just simply to say, because God wanted it to be that way. It was for His purpose. You know, Romans 8:28 tells us about that. It says that what? All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to, it's His purpose. Okay, so that verse alone tells us it's not about us, it's about God. Okay? And so we have to see that as we move along in this thing. Now, Satan begins to slander Job. And by the way, in slandering Job, he's also slandering God. You have to realize that. Okay? He is, by the way, we're just a tool the devil uses to get to God, because that's who he really wants to make pay. Please understand that. Again, it's not about you. Satan is not really, he doesn't really care. He probably really doesn't even care if he knows your name. You understand? Because all he wants to do is to affect your life so that he can throw it in the face of God. That's what his goal is. And you have to realize that it doesn't matter who you are or what you are, the devil wants to use you to throw it into God's face and say, see, they don't really love you. They don't really care about you. You see where he's going with this? That's what he's really desiring. So you understand that Satan's going to say that anybody can serve God whenever there's nothing going on that's bad. By the way, let's all be honest. Is it easier to serve God when there's no storm clouds and no troubles and no trials and no difficulties, right?
Yeah. It's smooth sailing, right? Now, who likes that? Be honest. We all do. Yeah, you'd be an insane person if you say, bring on the storms. I love the storms. Fiery trials. Woo! Okay. Yeah, don't do that. Please don't do that. But that Satan says, hey, when God's blessing, anybody can serve God. But hey, you just wait, God. If some difficult times come, then he won't serve you. Now, time out. Is that an entire falsehood? Based on man's character? It's not. Okay? It's not. And so, does Satan have a little bit of ammunition here? He kind of does. Why? Because of us. If we were all more like Job, right? Because here, think at the end of the story, who turns out to be right? God does. By the way, that's a good thing. Okay? That's a good thing. And so Satan's, if you will, put in his place. Only because the man that they were talking about did follow God like he was supposed to. And that's what we need to remember. Now look at verse 10. Look what the devil says. Doth Job, verse 9, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So Satan suggests that if God would take away the hedge from him, that Job would curse God. Okay? Now, this hedge is not what you think. I did do some study and look this up. Only two times in our King James Bible is this word hedge a certain Hebrew word. The rest of the times, it's a different word. Even in the New Testament, it's a different word. Most of the time in our Bibles, the word hedge is speaking about a fence or a partition, maybe thorns or some kind of vine, whatever. But in this particular case, this word hedge means protection or restraint. Specifically, only two times in your Bible is it that way. In this part of the Bible, it's for protection. In the book of Job here, in this verse, verse 10, Satan is accusing God of protecting Job. He said, God, you're protecting him. Of course he's going to serve you. You have put protection around him. Okay? And that's what it is. Now, if you go to Hosea in chapter, let's see, what chapter is that? I have it here. There it is, chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. You know the book of Hosea, a very, very curious, very interesting book of the Bible. I'd encourage you to study Hosea. It's very, very curious, very interesting. But basically, the gist of it is, God tells Hosea to go marry a woman that's unfaithful. Okay? To be a picture, Hosea is a picture of God. The unfaithful wife is a picture of Israel. Okay? That's basically the gist of the book there. To show Israel by living picture what they're doing to God. Everybody understand that, okay? So, here is talking about the wife, here in chapter 2 of the book of Hosea. And he's talking about Hosea's sons specifically. But he says here, for their mother hath played the harlot. She that conceived them hath done shamefully. For she said, I will go after my lovers that give me my bread and my water, my wool and my flax and mine oil and my drink. Therefore, behold, this is God speaking, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. This one, this hedge, is the second time this particular Hebrew word is used, and it means restraint. He's going to restrict her paths so she can't go do what she says she wants to do because it's not good for her. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes the hedge that we need is to keep us from doing the bad that we would do. Let me just tell you something. There have been times, folks, where I know this shouldn't surprise you because I'm just a human being. There have been times in my life where I was set on doing something that was wrong. I knew it was wrong, and I wanted to do it, and I was set on doing it. Come on. Anybody been there? And guess what? I couldn't. Not in my mind. I physically was not able to do it because God stopped. He broke whatever it was I was going to go do, or he closed off a road, or he did this to a car. I'm just telling you, God physically hedged me. He restrained me from doing something that I set in my heart and I set in my mind that I was going to do against God. And he said, no, you're not going to be able to do it. I'm going to physically, earthly stop you from doing it. Isn't that amazing? And that's exactly what he did here for Hosea's wife. He said, I'm not going to let her find her paths. I'm not going to let her go to these other people. I'm going to make her go. If you read the next verse, verse 7 and verse 8, I'm going to make her go back to her husband. I'm going to restrain her. That's what that word hedge means in this particular passage. But over here in Job, go back to Job now. I just thought it was interesting. Since I did the word study, I thought I might as well share it with you. Because I thought it was very interesting. Because these two times in the Bible, just twice. Once the first definition of protection, the other restraint, but they both have to do with what God is doing in our lives. Now, I want you to think about this. Hosea's wife, set on evil. Restraint. Job, set on righteousness. Protection. Let that thought sink into your brains. When God is with us, if you will, he's over us, he's our God, right? By the way, Hosea's wife is supposed to be a picture of Israel, God's people, but their heart was set on going against God, whom they were supposed to be going for. So he puts restraint in their life. But when our heart is set on doing right, God makes that hedge, if you will, a protection. Because we're doing right. Job feared God. Right? He was perfect. He was upright. He was one that feared God. He was one that eschewed evil. So guess what that resulted in? Protection. You see, the hedge, yes, God put it around him. But the reason God put it around him was because Job was righteous. Because Job did that which was right. If you'd like to just listen, for sake of time, I won't make you turn there. But Psalm 34, David says this, and this is what we got to realize. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him, and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. What does that sound like to you? A hedge of protection. For who? The righteous. The ones that are doing right. He says, blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, well, I missed a part. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. The fear of the Lord, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. No want. What did Job have any want? No. He was the wealthiest man, the richest man, in all the East. It says here, come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, that thy lips speak from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, and to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. So, I'm only bringing this forward because of this word and because of the situation. Satan is up there accusing God for putting a hedge around Job for no reason. It's not true. There was a good reason that God had put a hedge around Job, because Job did what was right. You see, folks, we are children of the Most High God. We are servants of the King. If we do well, blessed and protected are we. If we do not well, punishment and restraint may be placed upon us. Just think about it. It makes sense. Why else would this one Hebrew word, which is properly translated hedge, be used in just two places, having just two definitions? Strange? I think not. It shows us what is to be done. Should we be running after other gods? Should we have our hearts set on getting away from God and going to the places that where we can find pleasure in what we want and desire? No. God, who is our husband, if you will, who is the one we're supposed to be serving, that's where our loyalty should be. And boy, if he's a good one, he ought to restrain us. Doesn't that make sense? And by the way, if we are servant and we are true to our God, then he should protect us. That just makes sense. All I'm trying to say is Satan's slander is without any kind of rationale. It's false. It's fake. It's a fraud, just like he is. God was not protecting Job for nothing. God was protecting Job because, if you will, Job deserved to be protected. He was righteous. He feared God. He eschewed evil. He was serving God. He gave worship to God. He gave credit to God. And so God protected him. It wasn't for naught. And so we've got to realize that this is how it is for God and our lives also. Sometimes we wonder why difficulties or troubles are always about us. Well, maybe it's because we're not faithful to God like we should be. I'm just saying maybe. Okay? I'm just trying to get you to think about this a little bit. We've got to realize that my desire, my goal in life should be to make Satan's accusations false. Wouldn't it be a shame if Satan could come and accuse you before God, which, by the way, he does. He's the accuser of the brethren. And how would it be if it were true? Isn't that a thought? Boy, I sure hope that it's not true. Satan suggests that if he takes away Job's riches, that Job would no longer serve God, would no longer stand for God, would no longer love God. I wonder if that were to happen to us, would we depart from the faith? Because let me just say, no matter how bad your circumstances are right now, they're not as bad as Job's were. I wonder. Because think about this, folks. How many Christians have actually faltered, if you will, or left the faith because things just got too bad? Has it happened before? Yes, in great number, I'm afraid. Should it happen? No, should not. But does it happen? Yes, it does. Have we determined in our hearts that we would stay true to God no matter what the trial, no matter what the hardship, no matter what the difficulty? or will we depart? Think about this. Let me read a few verses here to you. 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And then he says, "Whom," that's this devil, "resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Okay, that's the end of 1 Peter. We talked about that before. We've talked about that. Now, that is how it should be, right? Okay? Who wrote that? Peter did. Well, yes, God did. Yes, thank you. But Peter, by the hand of Peter, if you will, was penned in Scripture. Think about this. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." He said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." So you think the guy that wrote, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour," might have some experience about that very fact? Absolutely he did. And was he devoured? He was. Now, thank God for restoration. Amen? But I want to tell you that we've got to understand. We have to realize that Satan is just waiting for his opportunity. And sometimes he makes his own opportunity. When he came up into this meeting, I really believe this, and this is, again, a personal belief of mine. I don't think he had Job on his mind at all. I really don't, when he came to this meeting. But once God mentioned him, first of all, he knew who Job was. And here again, this is what I think. I think that Satan had already counted this a lost cause. I'm not even going to bother. I'm not even going to worry about it, because this guy is protected to the hilt. There are angels everywhere in this man's life. Because he is righteous, because he is upright, God is protecting him. Kind of those action reward things. This hedge is there. And so I'm not even going to bother with it. I'm not going to waste my time thinking about him. But by the way, God, since you mentioned Job, he goes, a little light bulb goes, bing. I now have an opportunity to get this guy. I've written him off. I thought I couldn't get to him, but now I have a chance to get to him. Now, if you think about the devil that way, as devious as he is, he probably thinks that way. He wants you. He wants to sift you. It says, did you hear what Jesus said? It says, Satan hath desired to have you. Folks, let that resonate in our minds. It's but by the grace of God that he doesn't get us. But if he does, are we going to fall like Peter fell? Or are we going to stand like Job stood? That's the question. Because it's not if, it's when this may happen. And can I tell you, in my life, unfortunately, I've made some wrong turns when I should have made right turns. I guess you could have said left turns when I should have made right turns, but that's okay. But for the grace of God, I wouldn't be here today. But I want you to understand that this is a real thing that happens. Now, we're going to quit there tonight, and I just want you to think about that. And we're going to talk about all the different things that happen. And I want you to feel the pain of Job, because as one is just finishing his sentence, another's coming in. Folks, this is wave after wave after wave after wave. And let me just say this to kind of marry up all the things that I've said tonight. When the devil pours it on, he doesn't go light. It is wave after wave after wave after wave. Because he wants you to fall. Because he wants to be able to go back up to God and say, see, I was right. That man doesn't love you. That man isn't going to serve you. That man cursed you, God. That's his motive, folks. And again, it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with him and God. We've got to understand that this is way above our pay grade. Way higher than its principalities, powers, rule of the darkness of this world. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about mankind. It's about this epic battle of good and evil, if you will. And Satan wants nothing more than take your life, crumple it up, and throw it in the face of God. That's what he's trying to do. Don't let him. Be a Job.